Iran has warned that Britain's seizure of a tanker carrying Iranian crude oil in Gibraltar is a destructive move that can escalate tensions in the Persian Gulf. Iran summoned the British ambassador in protest over the move, slamming it as piracy. British Royal Marines seized the super tanker Grace One on Thursday. Some British sources say the tanker was suspected of carrying oil from Iran to Syria in breach of EU sanctions, but Iran does not recognize the EU sanctions against Syria. Other sources say the seizure took place at the behest of the U.S. because of its unilateral sanctions against Iran. Britain, however, is a signatory to the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran. In tonight's debate, we'll discuss London's anti-Iran move and its ramifications with our guests. We've got former American intelligence linguist Scott Ricker joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. Also, a journalist and author, Daniel Lazar, is with us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with our guest in Florida. Iran's foreign ministry says the UK seizure of the ship that was carrying Iranian oil in Gibraltar amounts to piracy. How do you assess this recent incident?
I have to agree wholeheartedly. This is an act of piracy. This ship was operating in international waters. Obviously, Iran is not bound by the sanctions of the EU. The EU has absolutely no right to impose adherence to these sanctions by the Iranian government or any other government other than the EU. It's my understanding that the EU only governs the EU. And fact is that these sanctions are absolutely illegal under the sanctions against Syria. These sanctions were put in place by the EU that was complicit through their cooperation with the other nations in their attack upon Syria. So this is something that is already in play that has been done against Syria almost 7 to 8 years ago. This is a long-standing sanction that is absolutely criminal economic warfare against Syria and being done by the perpetrators of the chaos that ensued in Syria and has continued through today. So this is a really serious situation whereby absolute piracy is being conducted by nations that are acting in hostile manners, fomenting war against the nations in which they're basically putting sanctions upon these nations and then trying to impose these sanctions against countries that disagree. This is absolute piracy on the maritime shipping lanes of the world.
Daniel Lazar, the Iranian Foreign Ministry said the UK's behavior was aligned with the U.S. unilateral sanctions and the bullying policies against Iran. Do you think that London is effectively trying to step up pressure on Iran to make it comply with the U.S. policies in the region?
It certainly looks that way, yes. I mean, the U.S. is just behaving outrageously. It's waging war against Syria, against Iran. It's putting pressure on its allies to go along with that effort. And Britain is an extremely shaky state these days, thanks to Brexit. The government is very weak, very nervous, lacks self-confidence, and therefore is inclined to do what it thinks will please the U.S. So I think it's quite reasonable to assume that Britain was trying to do trying to advance America's interests in taking this action against both Syria and Iran.
Let's go back to Mr. Rickard in Florida. British Marines in Gibraltar say that the tanker is, quote, believed to have been carrying oil to Syria. Now, the authorities say this is a violation of European Union sanctions on Syria. As you mentioned, a flashback, the EU sanctions against Syria have been enforced since late 2011, including an embargo on Syrian oil. It's a question that you also touched upon yourself. Do other countries have to adhere to this EU ban, which is not internationally binding?
A- Absolutely not. When it comes to sanctions that are imposed by a government, those sanctions are only only legal within those nations that agree. Absolutely, when it comes to the EU, there is an overriding agency in which governs multiple nations in that respect. However, there are nations within the EU that dictate to the, let's just say, not as powerful nations. And when we talk about these nations, even though the UK is quote unquote potentially leaving the EU, which, by the way, they never fully embraced the EU. They kept their own currency, smartly so, and they have obviously operated outside the system with their relationships. By the way, extremely powerful financial relationships that they've accomplished not only in the United States, but certainly throughout Asia with the development of the United Kingdom's imperialist power. So this is a nation that completely understands the system. And to say that the United Kingdom is, let's say, cooperating with the United States, I would go farther and say that the United Kingdom actually still dictates a lot of the foreign policy in which the United States adheres to. The United States has basically adopted all of the old United Kingdom's wars. England's old wars are now being fought by American soldiers, and American soldiers are basically implicated in former United Kingdom, and let's include the French, another very powerful nation with the United European Union. And sadly, the Germans have betrayed their own people and joined this alliance of the United Kingdom and France, and have also participated. Now, that being said, from a military perspective and certainly from an arms perspective, the Germans are nowhere near as criminal as, let's say, the French, the United Kingdom, and obviously the United States, and even, unfortunately, the Italians. The Italians have become very cooperative with the Americans in the arms dealing business, and certainly in the military industrial complex operations in the Middle East and elsewhere. So I would be saying absolutely this is something that the EU has agreed to, but at the same time, they do it because of their financial ties, and they do it because of their economics. And that fact is very strong, unfortunately, with the rest of the world, but certainly the rest of the world does not have to abide by it. Most non-allied NATO nations absolutely are being held back by the financial control of the Western banking infrastructure, and obviously those countries should not participate in these illegal sanctions.
Daniel Azar, Spain, which has lodged a complaint on the seizure, says that the UK acted at the request of the United States. Are we seeing a spiderweb of hypocrisy in the situation from Britain, given that it is a signatory to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action?
Yes, I think we are. I mean, I think Spain's concern is quite understandable. It doesn't want to be dragged into the war with Iran that the U.S. seems to be intent on fomenting. So it doesn't like that the British would engage in such a provocative action right off its shores. I mean, I don't agree. I don't agree that Britain is calling the shots. I think the U.S. is calling the shots. I think John Bolton is thrilled over this action by the British. And America is pressing ahead with its conflict with Iran. And I think there's going to be very serious consequences unless Trump reconsiders where he's going.
Mr. Ricker, do you think the UK has risked tarnishing its credibility with regards to Iran completely?
I mean, that's laughable. Risk tarnishing their relationship with Iran. Their relationship with Iran back to the 1800s under Reuters, and their relationship with Iran up until the 50s, when Iran, rightfully so, kicked out the British Empire, has been extremely horrific. The fact is that the Americans picked up the foreign policy of the UK and absolutely overthrew Mossadegh on behalf of the UK and certainly placed the Shah of Iran and ran the country into the UK's arms and conducted all the intelligence operations that the UK was kicked out for, obviously. Now, ironically, the United Kingdom has an embassy back in Tehran. I don't know why the Iranians would allow that. I would certainly consider kicking them out, rightfully so, again, right away. There's absolutely no reason to keep their diplomacy there. These people are acting the way they did prior to the 1950s, and they're certainly not a good asset to have within your country. So to think that I won't say that the UK are pulling the strings, but they are certainly alongside the Americans controlling the marionettes. So there's absolutely no one person that we can say is in charge of this, but absolutely there are many individuals that are in tandem or working the same strings.
Mr. Lazar, do you agree with that assessment? There's a big question mark over the credibility of the United Kingdom with regards to its dealings with Iran.
I agree, yes. I think the UK's credibility is shot. And the UK, I mean, Germany and France are working hard, and Russia, too, are working hard to keep the 2015 accord going. But Britain is clearly wavering. It wants to join the U.S. rejectionist camp, and it looks like it's heading in that direction. I think that Iran is being treated extremely unfairly. I think it's a victim of classic imperialist aggression. As I expect, I think Iran will have no choice but to defend its interests. I don't know what form that will take, but certainly one can hardly blame Iran for doing that.
And Tehran, Mr. Lazar, Tehran will surely view this episode as proof that Britain is not truly committed to helping the Iranian economy weather the effect of those U.S. unilateral sanctions.
Right. So now the question is, how will the French and Germans and Russians respond?
All right, Mr. Rickard, what do you think about that question? The French, the Russians, how are they going to respond to this?
Well, based upon the French's, France has been notoriously partnered with the United States and the United Kingdom for quite some time. So I wouldn't depend on the French. Certainly the Russians and the Chinese, obviously, it would really be the Germans that I'd turn to. I think the Germans are the best chance at not really saving the deal, but certainly putting a clear wrench in the Western banking infrastructure and a clear wrench into the Western military industrial complex activities. Certainly the British will absolutely in lockstep work with the United States. And sadly, the actions that the Iranians take will unfortunately be looked upon, even if there was a tit for tat or some sort of reaction, would be looked upon as being the violent partner. You know, let's be clear here that in the States, there's very strident conversations that are pushed upon the populace and pushed upon the political infrastructure. The harsh and really criminal activity in the United States when it comes to the truth and the kinds of rhetoric that's put out is extremely negative against Iran. You know, people have no idea of the real facts. So unfortunately, they're going to get, in the United States, sadly, a lot of support from a majority of individuals who really are unaware of the real issues that have occurred in Iran, not only most recently, but certainly throughout history.
Mr. Lazar, an issue that you mentioned just a few minutes earlier, Iran has every right to defend its interests. A senior commander in Iran's IRGC has warned if the vessel isn't immediately released, Iranians can and should reciprocate, warning that a British oil tanker could be seized if this tanker detained in Gibraltar is not set free. This incident could have some worrying ripple effects if it's not properly dealt with.
I agree. It's very dangerous. Iran's economy is being hurt severely by the U.S. sanctions. And remember, all Iran did was abide by the treaty, which the U.S. helped negotiate. So now it's being punished for its legally observing that treaty. It's outrageous. Iran's economy is taking a real hit. The Iranian economy is contracting now at a rate the U.S. economy did in the early 1930s. If this was happening to the United States, believe me, the U.S. would be mobilizing militarily in a second, in a flash. So one can hardly blame Iran for taking similar measures. And in fact, Iran's reaction so far has been rather restrained and quite reasonable. It's worked very hard at getting world opinion on its side. I think it's largely succeeded. It's avoided engaging in pointless military provocations. But at some point, it has to take action to defend itself against U.S. aggression.
Mr. Ricker, do you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely not. Sadly, that is how you get goaded and baited into convincing, unfortunately, the United States people. Given any action or reaction, I should say, to the criminal activity against Iran, which obviously, rightfully so, you would have the right to do that, I would say. But unfortunately, the bully always will find its way in turning the story against Iran. And this would be a very detrimental move. I say Iran has been fantastic. You know, a country has been punished since 1979, obviously, since they secured their freedom from the American occupation of their government through the Shah and American involvement of intelligence through the SCIF and all the operations at the embassy that the CIA was working freely within the country under the Shah. So I'd say at this point, the Iranians have shown great restraint for the last 40 years and should continue. That restraint is what's kept them strong. Although their economy has been constrained deliberately since 1979, they have endured and they have grown strong and become one of the most powerful nations under sanctions in the history of the planet. So I'd say stay strong, do what you're doing, and do not allow in a reaction to this, because a reaction to this only feeds into the bait in which is being put out there. And I say it would be an absolute mistake because of the fact that that's exactly what the Americans are hoping for.
Mr. Lazar, I'd like to hear a rebuttal on that.
Well, I think the I'm not trying to give Iran advice on how to respond. Iran is its own best judge of what actions to take or not to take. I'm just simply saying that Iran has every right to defend itself against U.S. attack. And it's under severe attack. And as I said, I don't want to give it advice, but I think that that the U.S. in similar circumstances would be going ballistic at this point.
Scott Rickert, a spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry, Abbas Mousavi, said that the quote-unquote destructive seizure of the oil tanker by the U.K. could increase tensions in the Persian Gulf. What kind of tensions what kind of increase of tensions do you see? And is that something London and Washington are taking into account, the repercussions of such actions could have in the region?
Well, throughout the years, there's been tremendous amount of tensions in the Gulf, obviously, given the fact that the United States has operated in a very aggressive manner. Certainly, they were raining down rockets upon the Iranian people and also working along Saddam Hussein for over a decade. So you talk about tensions, I'd say they're pretty much eased compared to that. Obviously, today, tensions are rising again for the umpteenth time, sadly. But these tensions are obviously workable at this point. But the Americans have gone out of their way to not only violate Iranian airspace, but certainly try to implicate Iranians in what I would consider espionage-based sabotage within the Persian Gulf of oil tankers, which the Iranians had nothing to do with. So this is, obviously the Iranians are showing tremendous resiliency over the last four decades and continue to operate in a very intelligent manner and have created tremendous defense forces that can defend the nation. But I would say from an offensive perspective, the Americans have numerous times infringed upon not only the territorial waters, but the actual airspace. And I completely agree with the other guest that the Americans would be going ballistic if the not only the Iranians had any kind of ships off the coast of in international waters off the coast of the United States, but were flying drones on a regular basis over American airspace. And unfortunately, the United States has been doing this for quite some time against Iran. And sadly, Iran has had to endure the tremendous wars along its borders because of the American aggression.
Daniel Azar, your final thoughts on this issue? A spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry says that this act could increase tensions in the Persian Gulf. Is that something that London and Washington are taking into account, the repercussions that such actions could have for the region?
I'm afraid they aren't. I'm afraid that the, at least in Washington, the people in charge are so irresponsible, so short-sighted that they really have given insufficient thought to where all this is leading. The war faction seems to be in control in the capital. The U.S. is pressing for a confrontation. And as I said, a confrontation could be disastrous, catastrophic.
All right, thanks a lot. That's all the time we have for tonight's program. Allow me to thank my guests, former American intelligence linguist Scott Ricker, joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. Also, thanks to journalist and author Daniel Azar, joining us from New York. And a special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us on tonight's debate. It's good night for now.